We're going to start off the week by playing a fun little game of identify the household birthing person. According to The Athletic, you should be able to instantly recognize and name each of these people. These people are what the mainstream media like to call household names. Clearly, we have different interpretations of household names. If I flashed you guys a picture of an aging man without a shirt and a cigar in his mouth, most of you would be able to identify Chris Cuomo in a matter of seconds. Hey, it's me, Chrissy C! If I showed you a picture of a round object with thick yellow skin, most of you would instantly recognize Donnie Lemon. Those are examples of household names. But let's humor the mainstream media. Let's play along for a second. I'm going to show you guys a couple of pictures. I want you to name the birthing person. Take a look at this. Here we have a nice young woman. As you can see, she is staring off into the abyss, wondering why the woke oak tree has sentenced her to a future as a WNBA dump diver. According to The Athletic, this young woman is a household name. Who is she? Anyone? Anyone want to take a guess? Time's up. This young birthing person identifies as Aaliyah Boston. Now, I know that was a bit tough. I should have started off with someone easier to identify, but I am simply going off the list the media provided. Let's try this again. Here we have another nice young woman. She was photographed here while responding to a question. What are the chances that a women's college basketball game will be entertaining? Judging by her shrug and facial expression, I think her answer was zero. Can anyone identify this lovely young woman? Anyone want to take a guess? Time's up. Her government name is Caitlin Clark, but her friends call her Katie Rue. The Athletic also considered Dawn Staley to be a household name. Now, to be fair, Dawn Staley has gained some fame and recognition. She is a D-list celebrity, no different than one of those Bravo celebrities on Vanderpump the Woke Wiener. But Dawn Staley is not famous because of pretend basketball. She is one of the many who built her platform on the exploitation of mythical racism. Over the next 3 weeks, we are going to be bombarded with lies and propaganda from the mainstream media. Hell, it's already started, and we are not even through the second round of the pretend basketball tournament. KC, I think you mean March Madness. No, I mean pretend basketball. March Madness is what I have been watching since last Thursday. March Madness entertains me with competitive games. The men don't present me with tournament matchups where South Carolina is a 45-point favorite. Right now, the mainstream media is bursting with excitement and joy. Here in a couple of weeks, we will all experience another first. And you guys know how much the two-incher pinchers love a first. For the first time ever, the national championship in women's college basketball will be broadcast on ABC. When I saw these headlines, there was one word, one question that came to mind. Why? Why? Sunday afternoons on ABC, that is prime television real estate. This year, the network broadcast the least amount of NBA games in, I think it was almost 20 years. ABC, they didn't provide a reason for this, but if I had to guess, it's because the NBA wasn't giving them the ratings they wanted. So how in the hell can you justify putting the championship game of pretenders along with a handful of early round tournament matchups on broadcast television? Luckily for us, The Athletic consulted with an expert to provide an answer. Mary Jo Kane is the founder of the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sports. Translation, grade A shitfuck. According to Mary Jane, this was a sound business decision by ABC. They did not make this decision out of the kindness of their heart. This is not about sympathy. It's about making money. Women's basketball generates monster ratings. Broadcast networks are finally noticing, and they are showing respect to these legendary elite athletes. Oh, really? Really? Let me make sure I'm understanding this correctly. This is not about sympathy. It's about respect. Women's college basketball is generating excellent ratings. Huh. It got me to wondering, How large of an audience does pretend basketball generate? I mean, I could do like The Athletic and simply take Jane's word for it, but I looked through the list of people I trust. Jane wasn't on it. So I did some research myself. I wanted to know the regular season ratings for women's college basketball. When I saw some of these headlines, I initially thought this season was a huge success. Women's basketball sees best ratings since 2015. Women's basketball sets double-digit increases in television ratings. Wow! Wow! That's great, right? The most watched game of the season drew 1.4 million viewers. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, that's a great number. But I am not interested in one-offs. I want to know how you're performing on a nightly basis. Throughout the season, ESPN shoved women's college basketball down our throats. It seemed like there were games on ESPN 7 days a week. Now, out of all these games, out of all the constant promotion, women's college basketball only managed to average 190,000 viewers. What? 190,000 viewers? You could broadcast Chris Cuomo and Keith Olbermann debating their preferred size of the grilled woke wiener and 190,000 people would watch. You mean to tell me airballed dunks and free throws in the wrong basket can't eclipse 200,000 viewers? But that's okay. That's okay. According to ESPN, advertising for what they're calling March Madness hit a sold out for the second straight year. They have 15 broadcast sponsors and almost 100 advertisers. The question is, how? How in the hell is this possible? I have seen larger crowds of flies on a pile of horseshit during Mardi Gras than I see at these pretend basketball games. Couple of things here. Number one, notice ESPN failed to mention revenue. They didn't share how much money they are generating off these ad spots. If I had to guess, I would imagine that ESPN loses money broadcasting women's college basketball. And number two, what are these advertisers receiving in return for their investment? Ratings have not been released yet for the first or second round of the women's tournament, but I did find ratings for the set of play-in games. Last Tuesday, the play-in games for the real March Madness, they were broadcast on True TV. If I remember correctly, True TV, that used to be Court TV. I have never understood why a network dedicated to crime broadcasts basketball games once a year during the month of March, but I digress. Obviously, True TV, not a network known for sports. Yet somehow, the dudes averaged 1.5 million viewers. 48 hours later, the women were given their opportunity to draw an audience, both of their play-in games broadcast on ESPN2. Now, this was must-see TV, according to the media. St. John's versus Purdue, something called Monmouth, which I believe is the home of Sasquatch, battling for their spot in the tournament against Tennessee Tech. This was an exciting night of pretend basketball. One team, even managed to eclipse 70 points. What they did not eclipse was 210,000 viewers. The two play-in games for the women averaged just 208,000. The media wants us to believe that these ratings are great. The media wants us to believe it's all rainbows and the woke wiener in women's college basketball. Going into the tournament, the mainstream media has been bragging about the success of last year. Last season, the women averaged 634,000 viewers during March Madness. Now, keep in mind, this is the same media that is crucifying the XFL for averaging 600,000 viewers. When the XFL draws 600,000, it's no bueno. If women's college basketball draws 200,000, these ratings are amazing! Last night during the game, Katie Rue Clark was trending on Grindr. I was struggling to understand the difference. How can XFL ratings be considered no bueno, but pretend basketball ratings in the same range are considered amazing? Luckily, again, I was able to rely on The Athletic to give me some clarity. As I mentioned earlier, the pretend championship game will be broadcast on ABC for the first time ever. The timing and date selection for the pretend championship game is no coincidence. The game will be played in the mid-afternoon time slot on Sunday, April 2nd. Now, why did they choose this particular day? No competition. The real Final Four is the day before. The NBA will be wrapping up their regular season. No nationally televised games will be broadcast that day. The only thing the women will be competing with is a meaningless NASCAR race that no one cares about unless they're living in a house on four wheels. A late season NHL game on TNT. Final round of a PGA tournament that no one will be watching. An XFL game in the opening weekend of the regular season in Major League Baseball. Like I said, no competition. I'll be honest with you. The women's championship game probably draw 3, maybe 4 million viewers, but it does not matter. No. The ratings do not matter in women's college basketball. According to The Athletic, they don't need great ratings to be considered successful because TV programming is not a zero-sum game. Yes, it is. I thought there was one thing that mattered in television. Ratings. Unless, of course, you're considered to be a card-carrying member of Club Spank the Wanker. In that case, ratings don't matter, and any audience number will be considered successful. The truth is, ratings for women's college basketball qualify for huge embarrassing failure status. There is no other explanation other than sympathy that can explain why they are being given increased national exposure. The question is, how long will the sympathy last? I have been asking this question for 2 years now. How long will the sympathy last? The media has been on a crusade to make pretend basketball mainstream. It ain't working. Sure, they'll pop a good number every once in a while. Sure, the pretend championship will draw 4 million viewers, but even the XFL is capable of drawing a good rating here and there. Want to know a good rating for a championship game? 18 million, 20 million. If women's basketball was mainstream, if they were as popular as the media pretends they are, they would be drawing an audience on a nightly basis. They're not. Hell, the two play-in games last Thursday didn't make the top 100 on cable. Over the next 2 or 3 weeks, the media is going to lie to you. They will lead you to believe that women's basketball is just as successful as men's basketball. They'll call it March Madness. They'll pretend these games are competitive. They're not. As of the recording of this video, it's about 11:30 on Monday morning, but as of this recording, there have been 40 games played in the women's tournament. March Madness. It's maddening, all right, if you're one of the handful of people lonely enough to watch. 40 games decided by an average of 20 points. Blowouts. Most of these games over in the first 5 minutes. They are played in front of empty arenas where it's so quiet you can hear a mouse fart in the front row. But give me your thoughts. Maybe I'm wrong. Here we are, another March where the mainstream media tries to convince us that women's college basketball is popular mainstream. Someone give me a reason, give me an explanation as to why women's basketball and the WNBA dump continue receiving increased national exposure. Other than sympathy, I can't think of one. Maybe you know something that I don't. Sound off in the comments below. Make sure to like and subscribe. Click the notification bell to receive all notifications from the channel. Best way to contact me is by email at btlkc84@gmail.com, kc_btl84 on Twitter. I'll see you guys later.